The after party starts
right now. What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me on this fine afternoon, as usual, is my good friend Nate from the Gamers Guild. What's up, man?
Not too much. Exciting things happening in the world of Marvel Crisis Protocol right now, and excited to talk about some of the characters who are a little bit older but still contribute heavily to the game.
Yeah, there is a lot of fun things in Crisis Protocol right now. Namely, I think the Black Order is trying to take over, honestly.
I'm all aboard the hype train.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook you made a post talking about how to make them work for certain things, and then Jacob Collins from the Xavier Protocols has been just rapid fire with all the ways that you can do Black Order shenanigans. So it's pretty exciting time to be playing Marvel Crisis Protocol. If you're just getting into the game and you stumbled upon this podcast, well, welcome, and we hope that you enjoy it and you have picked a good time to get into the game, but your wallet will probably not like you.
Yes, you and your wallet will have some serious talks, especially since there are many other things happening in even just the miniature wargaming world right now.
Oh yeah, you're about to have a ninth edition of that other game come out.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a wild time, but a good time nevertheless. And speaking of good times, here at the After Party, we like to take a look back at some characters that have been out for a while. We just finished up the core set, and today we have two characters that have been that came out alongside the core set. And those characters are the Jade Giant himself, Hulk, and the biggest head in the Marvel Universe, MODOK. Well, I don't know. Is he the biggest head in the Marvel Universe? Is Ego the living planet? Would that be a head? Like, he's a giant head?
I mean, he is, like, if we're looking at just a head.
Right.
Sure, yeah.
Proportionally speaking, like, Galactus's head is obviously bigger, but I think, you know, Galactus has normal proportioned arms and legs.
Yes.
So, yes.
If we're going for just a head compared to normal body size, since I don't think that I know Living Planet does not have arms and legs, I think MODOK is the way to go with it.
All right, so there you go. Biggest head in the Marvel Universe. Put a stamp on it. We nailed it. You're welcome, America. So, Nate, the first character that we're going to talk about, we're going to dive right into it, because I have a feeling that this one's going to be a little bit of a good discussion, which we always do, but you know. And the first character that we're going to talk about is going to be Hulk. So, Nate, before playing any games, what were your thoughts on Hulk?
So I think, like everybody else, when we first saw Hulk, I was super concerned about the massive amount of stamina he had with 20 stamina, and then they showed that he doesn't have a backside, he doesn't have an entrance side, because his "you won't like me when I'm angry" ability, just whenever he would move to the entrance side, he gets KO'd instead.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I first did my first thoughts on Hulk, I had a concern that he was going to be a little bit squishier than we typically think as of what Hulk would be.
Yeah, it's funny because I have to agree with you. I think that at first glance, you see the card, you see everything that's on here, and you think, oh, he's sixth threat, he's a big boy, you know, he's in that big base. And your thoughts are that he is going to be a powerhouse. And in a lot of ways, he is. But my first impressions were definitely like, oh, he's going to be good. But man, he's going to have a hard time with soaking up as much damage and finding the balance of what amount of damage you allow him to take is going to be really critical. That mm-hmm. So that was like my first impression. So, Nate, I know one of the things that surprised me, though, when I got him on the table was just how squishy he really is in a lot of ways. Because, I mean, a well-timed Wakanda Forever with a Usurp the Throne with a Killmonger activation can take down a Hulk.
Absolutely.
And
so Hulk is this... he was even squishier than I kind of feared him to be, because you could even just have good characters. If Hulk, once he gets to about 8 damage on him, he is very much so capable of being one-shotted by most 4-threat characters in the game.
Exactly. I completely agree. And it's just interesting, because it seems kind of the opposite of what you would think of with Hulk. I mean, Hulk has always been one that's just soaking the damage, and then unleashing his rage upon the Marvel Universe, and in this case, the table. And he does that in the form of adding dice for every 3 damage he has, which is strong, which makes his strike or his thunderclap or his Hulk slam, any of those, it makes those really threatening. And Hulk is really threatening. Let's not mince words here, in that while he can be squishy, what did surprise me was just the amount of damage that he can lay on the table is pretty impressive.
Absolutely. He still is a huge threat. And one of the things that also surprised me is how good Gamma Launch is that comes with Hulk.
Yeah, I think Gamma Launch has seen an uptick in recent, you know, probably within the last, since Thor release.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I don't know how I feel about Gamma Launch outside of the BDT strategy.
So I, before the days of BDT, and I've already talked about this list with you, and I'm sure people have heard about it before, but from launch, before even like Black Panther and them were out, I really enjoyed having Hulk, MODOK, and Red Skull for Gamma Waves, because it was just this wrecking ball of a list.
Yeah.
And being able to Gamma Launch MODOK onto their back point out of nowhere, or even back onto – I've even done it so that I Gamma Launched him onto my own back point so that my opponent couldn't score the back point leaves a lot of versatility with that card. And I think it's just – at the end of the day, being able to place another model within range 5 of this giant base is always going to be pretty significant.
Yeah, I do think it's really good. I just don't think it's I think its utility has been, what's the word I want to use or phrase? Its utility is, it's a good card, but there are better cards. There are other cards I would rather have. Let's look at it that way. And I do agree with you, like you said, that there's no size restrictions. So Gamma Launch being able to throw a MODOK or Black Dwarf or whoever, wherever your opponent doesn't want them to be, is useful. And Hulk should always generally have access to 3 power because of his inner rage.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that surprised me with Hulk, I will say since we're still on that, is that he is very, very susceptible to conditions. Other than bleed, he does not like having conditions put on him at all, especially stun. Stun just totally nerfs him. He's still a threatening character. Even like, let's say he has no damage on him, but he got stunned, or he has 2 damage with a stun. That's really tough, because mm-hmm. then you're limiting his power generation so much. So that was another, like, a lot of characters suffer from conditions, but Hulk needs that power. He needs that power.
Any character that is taking up that much threat and their activations mean so much, you need them to be able to act in the fullest.
Exactly. So what do you think Hulk does well?
He does a lot of things well. He just doesn't necessarily do them the most efficiently for his threat cost. Once he kind of gets up there in damage, once he gets to the point where he's taken 12, if he has a chance to activate then, he's going to be laying out some damage. A beam 3 with 9 dice is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that we're seeing a little bit more often now, but originally and for quite a while, he was the only character with a size 4 throw, which was also downright terrifying because that's just 5 incoming damage.
Mm-hmm.
So he does a lot of things. He has a little bit of mobility to himself. But at the end of the day, Hulk is a damage machine.
He is. He is. And it's funny that you mention his mobility, because I do think that that's one of the things that he does well, is he is surprisingly mobile. His short move, you look at and you think, oh, that's not very far. But short move coupled with that 65 millimeter base, that big base, that's not short per se. And then you throw in a gamma leap in there, which is range 2, which is just slightly shorter than his short move. And Hulk just moved long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad. Yeah, you have to spend that 3 power, but you put Hulk in Avengers, it's 2 power. You got one left over to interact with an objective. So, I mean, yeah, I personally think that he's way more mobile than what we initially thought, what I initially thought. And another thing he does well is, while he is squishy, if you are playing Kree Power Core or you're playing the Skrulls, getting that objective on him makes for a lot of fun and makes it really difficult on your opponent to get it off in a lot of ways, because while, yes, he can go down, I mean, it's hard to melt through that 20 stamina in one turn. It can happen, but it is hard to do. So your opponent has to focus him down potentially, and all the while powering him up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he plays into those scenarios well, if you get the rolls to go in your favor to pick up those objectives. But that's also the double-edged sword of those objectives and running Hulk up there to grab them, is that if you flub the rolls, which, let's be honest, will happen more often than not, especially in my case, but if you flub the roll, you're screwed.
Yep, you're not in a pretty spot at that point, no.
And yeah.
Especially if you're putting a character like Hulk, who you're putting him into the middle of the map, he becomes very vulnerable then. It's not a great look for him, no.
Exactly. So what do you think are his biggest faults, other than his low defenses?
The other thing, because we've already talked about that one quite a bit, I feel like,
right,
is his weakness to push and throw effects. On the push side, just obviously, yes, characters like Shuri, any of these characters that only move short that can't make up what Shuri is going to push them are going to have a struggle against characters that are able to move them around.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk has a little bit of safety from that because he is size 4 and a lot of those abilities are size restrictive, but when they're not, he's going to hurt. He's going to have to be using the Gamma Leap if he's wanting to be effective, because if Shuri just double taps him, pushing him back, that's going to be Gamma Leap, move, and then hopefully Hulk gets to do some other things with his turn.
Yeah.
The other big weakness is the fact that he is size 4, and we are now beginning, yep, to see those characters that can throw size 4, whether it is just Thor with his normal throw or his strike/throw. You also have characters like Drax who are now getting it on an attack. You have Thanos who gets it on a wild on an attack. Black Dwarf who has it on just a superpower ability. Your opponents can use these huge characters to their advantage by playing pinball with them and just beating up your own team with the 5 incoming damage over and over is not a good thing.
No, I have used that one to great effect, and that would have been the fault that I would have outlined, is the fact that he becomes a mobile piece of terrain, a mobile piece of size 4 terrain at that point. And while you have a brace for impact, you have that kind of thing, like, Hulk is really especially good at being that mobile piece of terrain, because those damages that you do to him, one, okay, yeah, sure, they power him up, but you're unlikely to remove him from the board if you're throwing him around like that. Whereas with other characters, you can potentially get enough damage on him to where those throws are going to add up. But with Hulk, it's like, oh man, yeah, he's sitting there, he's full health. Well, I've got 3 throws of Hulk to do anything before I even give him any power or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or before I give him an extra die to his attacks. So
yeah. And MODOK doesn't suffer from this, and we'll talk a little bit more about this. But one of the reasons that we want to focus this on Hulk and kind of being problematic, and we'll have the same issue with the Black Dwarf here in a moment, MODOK is able to ignore the multi-throws by ignoring Wilds on its healthy side.
Exactly.
Doesn't have any defense for that.
Hulk doesn't have any defense, and the other difference between him and Black Dwarf is Black Dwarf has... Now, it won't matter for the 1 point of damage you get from being thrown, like the collision damage there, but Black Dwarf has the reducing the damage by one to a minimum of one, right? So Hulk doesn't have anything like that. So all of these throws, you throw stuff into him, you throw him into stuff, it's just, it adds up, and it adds up fast. But
yeah.
I say it adds up fast, but again, he becomes this mobile piece of terrain, and if your opponent doesn't position well enough to account for the fact that you have a Thor that is going to subsequently throw your Hulk, they're making a mistake. Like, I used the Hulk battering ram, as I like to call it, as very effectively in a tournament right before all this COVID stuff kicked off. It was the final match, and my opponent was running a semi-BDT list, not exactly, but close to it. And I just proceeded to use Hulk to just batter his team with my own Thor. And, you know, got some lucky dice rolls. But, yeah, it's a big weakness for him, I think.
Yep, you need to be – it's something to be aware of. If you see Thanos or Thor or other characters that are able to really take advantage of your own characters and their sizes – it's maybe that might be a moment where you think, maybe not Hulk today, kind of a thing.
Exactly. So one of the things that I think about Hulk, and this isn't really like a direct question or anything, just more of a statement here, is that when Hulk was released, he was very much like just, you know, run him in there, battering ram, get that damage on him, and then just unleash hell. But mm-hmm. as we've seen the play with Hulk, I think it's safe to say that Hulk is probably the most finesse piece in the game. He is the character that takes the most precise play, I think, in the game. Maybe he's up there at least.
Yeah, if you're wanting him to be effective and for you to not pay the price for it, he still is a very good piece. We have both seen Hulk do absolute monstrous acts on the game table.
Oh, dude, I mean, you get a powered up Hulk and he Hulk smashes, it can get out of control. You cosmically invigorate a Hulk. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, you're able to get some really good stuff off with Hulk. Under that under that same thing. But he definitely is a piece that he needs help. He needs support.
He does need support. And speaking of support, he comes with a few tactics cards that I think some are better at supporting him than others. I think Gamma Launch is a good support card for Hulk to use. But we had some questions from a couple of individuals about Hulk and about a couple of these tactic cards. One of them specifically was the Smash tactic card, and it is from David Kirby from the Inspiring Monologue. If you haven't had a chance, check that blog out. It is great. It says, if you could change his abilities in any way whatsoever, what would you change? And then it says, have you ever used the Smash team tactics card? What is the highest total number of enemy characters you have thrown Hulk into in round one? So it's kind of a three-question
In one round, not
into
round one.
In one round. Yes. Sorry.
Which yes, because you don't want to throw Hulk around too much in round one. That's a much more loaded question.
It is a much more loaded
so,
question.
So, talking about the first one, do you want to save that first question for later? Or
yeah, let's save his changing of abilities until the end of this Hulk segment, because I feel like that we each are going to have some interesting discussions here, because I know you have a question that you like to ask.
I do.
And we'll save that one for after that.
So have I ever used the Smash Team Tactic card? Comes with Hulk, relative to Hulk. Yes, I have, but I have never used it with Hulk. Kind of interestingly, this is a character, a card that I really enjoyed using with Venom and with MODOK, but it's not one I've actually used with Hulk.
Yeah, I've never used it with Hulk either, and I think it's more just a function of when I would want to use it. If I was going to use it with Hulk, I would want to do it on a size 3 piece of terrain. And generally, there's only, what, 2 or 3 size 3 pieces of terrain out there?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the limiting factor here of it saying it has to be a smaller size makes it to where I'm not going to want to use it on Hulk as often as I would, like you said, someone like a MODOK or a Venom. Like, using it on Venom, it makes a lot of sense because you can pick up that car and do some stuff with the car. But I don't particularly love it with Hulk. So I get why they put it in there, because it makes sense, because he does use the battlefield a lot of the time in his attacks. But I don't see using it with Hulk as often as other characters.
Yep.
So the highest total number of enemy characters you have thrown Hulk into in one round. So let me ask you this, Nate. Do you read this question as used Hulk as the battering ram to hit other characters, or taken Hulk into a scrum and just wrecked face?
So I think the question David is asking here is that we kind of already touched on it, and that's the fact that Hulk size 4 is able to be used to your disadvantage when you're running him. And so to answer this question, I have had Thor throw Hulk twice in a single round, one off of a strike and then one off of just a superpower throw.
Nice. Yeah, I've done it 3 times with Thor, getting lucky on the 2 strikes. And that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's a really good feeling.
And I especially, can only imagine. That's 15 damage.
Yeah, and especially because you don't move, you know, depending on your positioning, if you don't daze or KO someone, you know, you move him down the thing and he stops. And then it's like, okay, well, you're still within range 2 of Thor. Let's do that again.
Yep.
You know?
Can just start doing stuff. And I think we're going to... Thor is as popular as ever, but I think as we are seeing more characters with more of these throws that are kind of built into attacks, I think these big base characters like Hulk are going to be seen even less on the battlefield.
I think Hulk is about to have seen his day. I think BDT is still strong and will be strong, but I think that the days of that and the days of, like you said, Hulk just being ubiquitous in a roster still probably maybe, I don't know.
Well, we're also about to see the Defenders. He's about to get a new affiliation, so there are things unknown as of yet. If maybe Doctor Strange has something like Thanos that is able to help get Hulk up the battlefield a little bit quicker, get him more involved without worrying about push effects, there are definitely going to be ways that Hulk is still viable. However, I think people are going to become wiser with more characters that are able to punish Hulk.
Agree. So go ahead and ask your favorite question, Nate, and then we can touch on David's last part of his question.
Yeah, absolutely. So my usual question, and one I do enjoy, especially with characters that get talked about quite a bit, is since Hulk's release, do you think he has gotten better or worse or stayed about the same?
Okay, so I'm going to have a weird answer for this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He has gotten better while simultaneously getting worse.
And so ultimately, he's stayed about the same?
No, because he is definitely not the same. That's the thing.
All right, explain, do tell.
So he's changed a lot, but it's also, it's just weird. Okay, so which one would you rather hear first, worse or better?
Let's hear the worse.
Okay, so he's gotten worse because we've had enough releases now where other characters are having size 4 throws, which I think makes Hulk worse. It makes him as a character a risk on the battlefield, right?
Yep.
So that's specifically where I think he's gotten worse, is because of the three other characters that have a size 4 throw. It's not a lot, but one of those characters is specifically damn near ubiquitous on the battlefield right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. He's gotten better because he has an affiliation he can play in now that helps him manage those status conditions. He has an affiliation that can slowly take damage off of him to help him, you know, survive a little bit longer. He has some team tactics cards that allow him some interesting interactions, specifically field dressing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gotten better, but also gotten worse.
Yep. And you may have touched on this. I may have just zoned out. I think I agree. I think he's ultimately ended up in this kind of same spot where he's going to be taken about as much as he was when he first came out. He's more of a liability, but now there's also a couple of more upsides. And one of the things that I don't remember if you touched on, but there's a lot more characters with status condition out abilities that also kind of poke Hulk in the wrong way. But at the same time, Hulk can now be part of the Asgardian affiliation with his buddy Thor and can start getting rid of some of those really annoying status conditions. Like, even a trip up doesn't really phase Hulk if he's within the Asgardians, which is awesome.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the things we didn't really touch on during this discussion is how Hulk actually does get dazed. Like, I think that's one of the things that when everyone was first playing Hulk, when Hulk first came out, it was you do that 20 stamina, you pull him off the board immediately.
Yep, absolutely.
But that's,
and it wasn't actually until quarantine that apparently somebody's wife asked the question when they were playing a game. And I am sorry for not remembering the original person who posted this question. And the wife posed the question, does Hulk stay around? And
exactly.
It has changed so much.
It has changed a lot. It has changed so much in that Hulk is dazed and then not removed until the end of the round. So you have a chance to play field dressing on him. And if you do, well then... oh boy, that's a whole lot of Hulk coming at you.
Yep, because he just got dazed, he's probably maxed out on power.
Yep.
Means he's definitely maxed out on attack dice.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I think with stuff like that, he has gotten better. But like you said, so much status, like, oh my goodness, playing him against the Guardians of the Galaxy and seeing all the status conditions that Star-Lord can put out there. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, ultimately... better, but also worse.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. That's what's crazy to me, is like it's not the same. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being weird and being stupid. It's just typical.
Yep.
So final thought.
So I do want to go ahead and move on to one of the other questions that is, and so many of the questions we got for today's episode is based on Hulk, because he is, again, this character that has just continuously been talked about.
It's true. So with David's other question here, if you could change his abilities in any way whatsoever, what would you change?
I don't think it is necessarily the changing of an ability. I think I would like to add either Thanos's invulnerability ability, where Hulk just ignores one damage, or at the very least, something like the other invulnerabilities out there, like Iron Man's, Black Dwarf, yeah, so on, where Hulk reduces damage by one to a minimum of one.
I agree. I think that something like that would be what I would change. I would potentially, I would rather see, oh God, like a Crossbones ability where you have to pay for it. You know, like, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Hulk in the comics and traditionally he's just soaked damage and all that stuff. I get that. But I think the idea of having Hulk have to pay to ignore the damage, because one of the things that I find interesting is in media, in the comics, in movies and stuff like that, whenever Hulk is getting shot or whatever, like he always puts his hand up in his, you know what I mean? Like, he's putting his hand up in front of his face or whatever while bullets are bouncing off of him. Like, he's obviously invulnerable, but he still has that, like, natural reaction to defend himself from
things if that, somebody throws a snowball at your face, like, you still want to, like, hey, I don't want that hitting my face. It's not going to feel good.
Exactly. I could see, like, that, where it's that reaction is his paying just one, just pay, you know, make it a one power inured to pain, but don't call it that because that's too crossbony. But you know what I'm saying? I would rather see it like that than just an all natural, like he just gets it. But I think if you do that, you've got to take his health down just by a couple of points.
I disagree. The other change I would make is just make him five threat.
Yeah, five threat. That'd be definitely, because I actually really like his collection of abilities on him. So I don't think I would add anything other than the ability to remove some damage or to ignore some damage. And then, like you said, I think he's much more of a five than a six threat character.
Yep.
I think
and even then, I don't know if that makes him that much more popular, because he still has all the weaknesses we talked about.
Sure.
It does just, it helps maybe provide a little bit more support around him.
So that's an interesting question that maybe we can have another time, is like how you think they arrived at six threat versus five threat for Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to have that discussion or just move on for now?
Let's move on for now. That is something I'd like to come back and maybe do a look at down the road. We can look at characters like Crossbones, Iron Man, and so on.
Cool. All right. So any final thoughts on Hulk?
No additional final thoughts, but I know we still have a couple questions to get through.
All right. You go for it.
Cool. So from Jordan, we have the question, now that there is a second sixth threat character, how does Hulk stack up versus the Mad Titan?
Ooh, interesting. Well, not well. I mean, I think the simple answer is, how does Hulk stack up versus Thanos? I think Hulk is less good. He's not as good. If I look at Thanos and I see that sixth threat, I feel like I'm getting a lot of value for my sixth threat. Whereas with Hulk, it's kind of one, he's not a one trick pony, but he feels like the only way to get to maximize that sixth threat is to get that damage onto him, and you do that by putting him at great risk for losing your most expensive model.
Yeah, so kind of interestingly here, I think Hulk is one of the best models to take out a Thanos in a one-on-one fight.
Interesting.
Because ultimately, Thanos, I have found, is really weak to the really big swings. Yeah. You want to be able to pump out a lot of damage at once. If you're just doing like this one to two to Thanos time after time, one, he's going to ignore one of that one to two. But also, he's just able to tank it very well. And so I think Hulk, once he gets beat up, will be able to do some mean things to Thanos. But if I had to pick on an average day, which character am I running, it's going to be Thanos.
Yeah, agree. And I like what you said there about that. I think that's a very fair point of one-on-one. Yeah, Thanos definitely doesn't like it when he has a Hulk smash with 15 dice coming at his face.
Yep. But as a whole, Thanos, they also play differently. Thanos has some good attacks on him, but his main objective is kind of this weird and interesting anti-support role.
Yep.
He has the Cosmic Portal to help move your troops around or move your opponents off of objectives. He has the Death Decree ability to help buff up a teammate's attack rolls, where Hulk is much more of the damage dealer, that his attacks start out like Thanos's, but then just continue to get better as he gets more damage on them.
Exactly. So the next question we have here is from Mike Myers, and he asks, is the best way to deal with Hulk just to ignore him or go all in and kill him? And that's a really good question, Nate. I'll let you go first.
Yeah. So I think there's two different answers, and it's a little bit of both. Because one, if it's an objective like Gamma Shelters where Hulk is going to be in your face no matter what, like even if you don't do damage to him, Hulk is still getting at least a strongest one there is every turn. He can start thunderclapping, and even just his normal strike is still a six dice strike.
Mm-hmm.
In those situations, depending on what else is on the board, granted, blah, blah, blah. But those are the moments where I go all in on Hulk. I want to remove six threat from my opponent's team, and I can usually get in there and do it within one round of dedicated fire, which I think is worth it at that point. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you're playing an objective like Infinity Formula or Extremis Consoles, where Hulk is much more isolated, yeah. I think those are situations where you can kind of be like, cool, I'm not going to give Hulk the power to do what he wants to do and kind of just play a game of keep away with Hulk.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much that sums it up, honestly. Like, I'm more in the camp of focus him down no matter what, because he is a big presence on the board. And like you said, even if you don't do anything to him, he can still mess you up. Six dice strike, five dice thunderclap, and then that Hulk smash when he gets one, and then throwing stuff around that's size four. I mean, he can still do a lot. So I personally am more often than not if Hulk's there, focus him down, because the biggest reason being, it's a huge commitment in terms of threat from your opponent. And if you're able to remove that from the board, it puts a big strain on your opponent generally.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, though, if playing Gamma Waves, I mean, you got to do it. You got to get him out. And I will say this, though. If the choice is between taking out a Thor or taking out a Hulk, generally I'm going to want to take out a Thor first, if I can.
Yep. If the situation presents itself and you're able to get a big hit off, I would probably try to daze the Thor before he gets to activate, rather than put a bunch of damage on a Hulk before he gets to activate.
Exactly. And another thing that I have to say is, I generally just accept the fact that whatever character, at least one character that I'm throwing into Hulk to try to get rid of him, that's a sacrifice. That's just you're just going to have to lose a character. But it's definitely mm-hmm. better to lose a 2, 3, or 4 threat character that's not essential to your list, that has a role but isn't your leader or whatever. That's okay mm-hmm. to lose that character to a Hulk. And then again, if you have someone like an Okoye who's standing by to bodyguard some of that, I mean, you know, that helps too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I focus him down, but I think either way, you're risking a lot. And like we said when we were talking about him a minute ago, is he is mobile enough to where if you don't get rid of him, he can get where he needs to be more often than not. Again, struggles against Shuri, but not as much as the next guy we're going to talk about today.
Cool. And then the last question we have from the aforementioned Jacob Collins of Xavier Protocols simply asks, are you happy with Hulk?
Yeah. And yes and no is the answer to that question. It's a loaded question, Jacob. Why you got to do this to me? I am happy with Hulk as a character in Marvel Crisis Protocol. Am I happy with Hulk in the pure, does it feel enough like Hulk? Not really. I feel like I feel like mistakes were made with Hulk, but that it's good enough. It's one of the few characters in this game where I'm just like, you really distilled the character down to its most essence of essence. You know what I mean? Like molecular level distillation of what the Hulk character is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So am I happy with Hulk? Because yeah, he's a good model in the game overall. He's a solid model. Not the best, not the worst. But in terms of how he plays and stuff, I just think that they could have done something a little different with Hulk. And and captured his essence a little bit more and a little bit better within the framework of the game. Like, and like we said, part of that would maybe be just letting him tank some more damage.
Yep. Ultimately, I do enjoy playing Hulk. He makes my opponents make interesting decisions and choices when playing him. I do think he's a character that shines best at lower threat missions, because then he's not easily he's not able to be dogpiled on as easily.
Absolutely.
So he's able to be a little bit more survivable. Would I love for Hulk to be able to go into a 20 threat mission and still be this durable piece and stuff? Yes. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the game still needs to have some balance about it. And I do not envy the task of AMG taking the scope of what writers and illustrators can do in comics and putting that into math and numbers to make a balanced game like they have.
True that. True that. So, yeah. There you go. That's Hulk, baby.
That is Hulk.
So, moving on to the next guy. You ready for that?
Absolutely.
All right. So, next up, we have the giant head, the headless one, or the headed wonder, the forehead of doom, MODOK, the mental organism designed only for killing. So, mm-hmm. Before you started playing, what did you think of MODOK?
I thought he was going to be extremely durable. As soon as I saw the 10 health backed by the psionic force field ability, I thought this guy was going to kind of be a tank of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought he was going to be unstoppable. I honestly thought that he is really good, but I thought he was going to be really good. He is really mm-hmm. good. I mean, I'm probably underselling. I really thought he was going to be awesome, and he is pretty good. He's pretty good, but he does have some weaknesses that I didn't see at first. But, yeah, I definitely was ready to just play MODOK all the time, putting the Doomsday Chair out there with those whirling blades. I mean, I loved it. I think that I still love it. But I think that some other stars have shined a little brighter, if you know what I mean.
Interesting. All right. So for me, we had the first impression. I had your first impression. What surprised you once you started getting games in with him?
So what surprised me once I started getting games in is, like most characters, he is susceptible to the throw, but he is really susceptible to the throw, being he only has 2 physical defense. So it surprised me in that, one, he has a hard time, quote, getting there. 2, he doesn't do well when you go up against characters like a Thor, like a Hulk, who can get to him and throw him around or throw things into him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are putting MODOK right in the thick of things, I think you might be playing it a little wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one man's opinion, though. What about you? What surprised you?
I was surprised at his ability to output damage. Like, you look at Doomsday Chair and you look at Psionic Blast and you're like, yeah, those are good attacks. But when the Doomsday Chair starts bouncing around, leaving the bleed condition, and the Psionic Blast being able to sap power and then just gain power is really nice, especially with the consistency of his reroll ability, which is pea brain. MODOK's genius is infinite.
That was pretty good.
Thanks. Been totally not working on it. But so ultimately, I think he is this – he's not really a full-on sniper, but he's kind of that mid-range, going to put out a lot of damage and kind of stay out of the front line so that Thor has to come out of his way to go after MODOK.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that nailed it, and I think that he really, in a lot of ways, is a sniper in that, mm-hmm. in that he – gets to hang back at that range 4, and if you put the right tools around him, he doesn't necessarily have to spend actions to get to where he can be most effective. If you put a Red Skull next to him who can Cosmic Cube him, or isn't that the ability, Cosmic Cube, where he portals somebody?
Master of the Cube, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
There you go. Where he Masters of the Cubes him up a little bit. I mean, that's good. Or if we put him with Thanos and you let Thanos just Cosmic Portal him, that I think abilities like that really help MODOK.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he is a bit of a sniper in that when you put him back along that edge of range 4, he can get to be pretty good. The other thing is he has a throw, and that throw is he can pick up something within range 3 of himself and then subsequently throw it long. So
yep.
It has to be terrain, which is a limiting factor, but thank God it's only terrain.
Yeah, being able to throw a character long would be all sorts of broken.
Oh, dude, it'd be nuts. I want to see it one day, but it would be nuts. So
nope. Please, no.
No, do it, AMG. Just one of these days, just do it. I just want to see it. I want to see what happens. So what does he do well then, other than, like, we've been, I think, saying some of the things he does well, but what does he do well, Nate?
He is a fantastic turret. He sits on an objective and is able to start throwing things. He's able to start moving things with his Bow to the Will of MODOK ability.
You didn't do it
right. And then Doomsday Chair and Sonic Blast are just going to start pelting people at range.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you nailed it. He is a turret, man. You get him on an objective. And so if you put him on, say, an Infinity Formula, which I really like Infinity Formula, just as an aside, I like Infinity Formula a lot. It's a fun mission. So you put him on an Infinity Formula and you get him positioned kind of more towards the middle. And depending on the extract, I mean, he can sit there, score you points, and then just mess with the other team so much. And then if the other team's careless with their positioning, that Doomsday Chair can just wreck people. And yes, it's physical, which is the highest defense in the game in most cases, but still it's a 7-dice attack that can potentially hit 2 characters, right? Mm-hmm. And then you brought up his Bow to the Will of MODOK ability. So you got to do it like that. And
apologies.
Yeah, get it right. Come on now. And being able to advance a character short. So it says advance. So that doesn't mean toward, away, left or right. That means you can move them whatever direction you want as long as they don't have to go over terrain. So, I mean, that's awesome.
Well, it can even move them over terrain. It's just as long as that terrain is not larger than they are.
Right. Sorry. Yes.
So you can make Captain America jump over that car.
Right.
Fill in the blank.
Right. Sorry. So, yeah. I think that kind of stuff allows for a lot of control and a turrety, control-y, awesome head.
Absolutely. So we've talked about what he does well. What does he not handle well? And I think you already touched on the main thing.
Yeah, it's the throws, man.
It's specifically things being thrown at him.
Exactly. Now, he is a good character to use, for instance, on Hulk, strongest one there is, to be able to throw a size 4 character. If you can get Hulk there, which it's unlikely, but if you can get Hulk to MODOK, he can throw him around using a superpower. But if you need to do something, yeah, it's something being thrown at him versus trying to do Thor's strike and hopefully land that throw. Because we should have mentioned this under his what does he do well, he's really good at avoiding conditions and avoiding those extra little bits of flavor that these characters like to do to each other by having a psionic force field that ignores the wild. So
yeah, keeps MODOK quite durable.
Exactly. But when you throw stuff at him, that is the balance, I think. And I've seen those two dice, I've seen those two physical dice save him multiple times. It happens. But the reality of the dice math is if you throw a size 3 or a size 2 thing into him, I mean, you're going to chip away at him. Hopefully get him down before he gets you down. And yeah, I think that's his biggest weakness. And his his other fault is that on his injured side, once you get him over to his injured side, he's useless almost.
Yep. If you're able to get priority because he got dazed, he's able to come back up for one good round. But if your opponent is playing like they should, Bodok should only have at most one round of activation after he's injured.
Exactly, because he loses his psionic force field and he only gets 4 stamina. Woof.
Yep, with some already pretty low defenses.
Exactly. What do you think his faults are?
The big one that I agree with you 100% on is just stuff being thrown at him. 2 physical defense is not going to be a lot, especially if Thor is able to start punching Red Skull and throwing Red Skull into MODOK. Stuff like that is where you can see damage add up pretty quickly.
Agree. So one of the things I actually think we didn't really mention with Hulk was what affiliations work best with him, but I think we all know. So
we talked about Asgardians being kind of that key place. Obviously, he'll enjoy being in the Cabal, getting a little bit of extra power, where otherwise his only power generation is from damage and the startup of the turn. And exactly. Like Avengers, he does well in. It doesn't really benefit him, but he plays well with some of the other Avengers. Giving him the Avengers Assemble card is also really nice.
It is. So,
ta-da.
Yeah, there you go. Done and done with Hulk's affiliation. But what about MODOK here? So MODOK, from an affiliation standpoint, he's in affiliation for Cabal, and I think that's where he really wants to be.
He likes it in the Cabal. It's a nice home for him.
Right. I think that Avengers is okay because being able to bow to the will of MODOK and move someone short for one, or imbecile, all the world is a weapon to MODOK for one also, that's his throw, is also very good. But I definitely think that with Doomsday Chair being able to potentially pop off 2 attacks, I think that's really good. And what's interesting about MODOK, in my experience anyways, is he's not too power hungry.
No, his psionic blast between just mystic attacks kind of having that mid-tier defense on most characters, he's usually able to get some power back from there. And then just power sap is a good way to consistently get some extra power onto him.
Yeah, he's kind of more often than not a good character to use tactic cards with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the other thing, I think he would love the Avengers if the P-Brain ability was able to work with that. Unfortunately, Cap cannot reduce the cost of X abilities.
Exactly.
So even if you did like, 2 rerolls, pay 1, doesn't quite get there. I will say, I think along with the Cabal, again, any of these big characters are going to enjoy being a part of the Asgardians. Because even though status conditions are hard to get on MODOK, even when they do get on there, just being able to snap them off is going to be really strong.
Exactly. And I also think that MODOK's an interesting one for Guardians. Not necessarily the best choice, but if you put some Winging It tokens on him and he is able to Doomsday Chair, I mean, he could potentially re-roll up to 3 of those. Like, that's not terrible. That's not terrible.
No, that's a consistent use of that. He doesn't need to be in Wakandans. He has the P-Brain ability already. That's some redundancy that I don't think is needed.
Yep.
And he might have a case for the Black Order because he does like dazing and KOing people.
He does. You only get the victory points on Thanos' healthy side for a KO, and MODOK is certainly capable of that, but I think the problem with trying to put him into Black Order is what are you taking out to get that 5 threat character in there? Because what the Black Order has in Corvus Glaive, let's say with the Reality Stone, that's a 5 threat character right there. And mm-hmm. I would rather have Corvus with Reality than MODOK, probably. If I'm trying to KO people. Like man, I don't know. It's tough, but I really like Corvus with Reality.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. So it's kind of, that's one I had to play with, but I'm right now, before I've rolled any dice with Corvus, That's my take. That's my hot take. It's on fire.
That is a hot take. And speaking of that hot take, one of the questions we have about MODOK is from Tim. He asks, now that Thanos and the Black Order have dropped or started to drop, do you think that MODOK will be supplanted by one of those members?
Well,
and then he specifically mentions the Mad Titan.
Yes. So for me, MODOK will not be supplanted in a Cabal list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think MODOK will be supplanted in... I mean, I don't think he'll be supplanted. That's a hard thing to say, because MODOK is a character that sees a good bit of play. And I don't think that we have had anything come out that beats what he does. Like, Ebony Maw is the closest comparison, simply because of the mystic attacks that Ebony Maw does and the throwing of terrain and that kind of stuff. But
I was about to say, I think Ebony Maw is nearly identical.
They're very similar
to MODOK. Both of them have low defenses but have a defensive ability that helps them out. Both of them have these throws that are able to pick up terrain from range 3 and then chuck them along. Ebony Maw has some great power generation just statically, and MODOK kind of has it in his attack. Both of them have some solid mystic attacks. The real difference to me is the I think it's Herald of Doom versus Doomsday Chair.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I completely agree. They're very similar, but they're just different enough to where I don't think Ebony Maw supplants MODOK per se, but I think that depending on how you want to play would be that would determine whether or not which one you want to take. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'd put Ebony Maw in a Cabal list over MODOK, but I wouldn't also scoff at that. I think that'd be fine.
Cool. So here's, I think, where he has a chance of being supplanted. If you're running as Guardians, do you run Maw or do you run MODOK?
I put Maw in.
And so I think that is where he gets supplanted.
Yeah. So I do think that, again, yeah, like, in certain scenarios, but again, like, if I'm, well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's like supplanted to me. That implies, like, all right, this character is going to never see play again. I don't think he's going to, I guess to your favorite question that we're going to talk about in a second, but you know, I don't think Thanos at all supplants him, because one, he's more threat. Two, to really maximize Thanos, you've got to have a gem on him that takes him up to 7, maybe 8 threat.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that he's supplanted by Thanos, because they play different games.
Yeah, I think Thanos is not the character to point fingers at against MODOK, at least. But I do think Ebony Maw plays a very, very similar game, both of them controlling opponents' models a little bit through the weirdly named Black Tongue versus the Bow to the Will of MODOK. There's a lot of similarities between those two, and ultimately it's going to come down to, do you like MODOK's ability to do this area damage with Doomsday Chair? Or do you like the denial ability that Maw brings with his special tactic card?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Shh. Exactly.
Oh, right. Sorry. I wasn't supposed to talk about it.
The card's name is Shh. I don't know if anybody else did.
Yeah, no. Somebody out there laughed. Hopefully.
Somebody.
Maybe.
Hopefully
I don't know.
So the next question we have is from David Kirby of the Inspiring Monologue fame again. It says, now that we have had more mystic attacks added to the game, how does his psionic blast compare to other newer mystic attacks? Do you think there is still a place in rosters for psychic fortress and aim lackeys? So I'll let you handle this one first, since I did the last one.
Absolutely. One, psionic blast is still a fantastic attack. 6 dice, range 4, cost 0 power, can get power back. I don't believe there's another mystic in attack that can get more than one power in the game. I know that Ebony Maw's strike style attack gets him 1 power, but that's it. That's the capping point. Hela, her attack is also 6 dice, range 4, cost 2 power, but it plays a different role for her, getting her soul tokens.
Right.
Loki, again, you're spending a lot of power, and that attack just has a lot of just kind of different about it. So I think Sonic Blast stacks up wonderfully. I think it's still a very solid Mystic attack that I would love to be able to put onto some of the other characters in the game and be totally fine with.
Oh, yeah. No, I think Sonic Blast is it's up there for attacks. I think, like you said, Black Tongue from Ebony Maw is only 5 dice and only nets him 1 power, whereas Sonic Blast is 6 dice, power equal to the damage dealt, plus sap power. So it messes up what your opponent wants to do also, which I really, really like. And I think you nailed it on what Psionic Blast is. I think Psionic Blast right now, for a free attack, it is the best Mystic attack in the game. I think Herald of Doom is a better Mystic attack, but obviously it's better because it's going to cost you 4.
Yeah, it's 4 threat.
So,
8 more dice. Yeah.
Right. So I think that Psionic Blast is still excellent. And the next part of the question is, do you think there's still a place in rosters for Psychic Fortress and AIM Lackeys? And each of those cards are interesting. He says Psychic Fortress. I think he means Psychic Fortress. I was going to think, for whatever reason, I was thinking that he meant the Psychic Shielding Device, the PSD, but that was a totally PSD. Different thing.
Yeah, no, this is, that's the one, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is off the top of my head, MODOK pays 3, and then all allied characters within range 4 of MODOK gain cover?
Yes, that's correct.
End of the round?
So that's Psychic Fortress, and then the AIM Lackeys is the one where MODOK can spend 3, choose another allied character. The character may perform a move action as an additional action during its next activation this round. So both of those cards, I think, are fun flavor cards, but especially Psychic Fortress, I never used anyways, and I didn't really think had much of a place to begin with, because gaining cover is not that great. If it was adds 1 extra defense die, it would be awesome. But because it's just gains cover, I don't particularly think it's as valuable as a card like Brace for Impact, like Field Dressing, like Patch Up, Med Pack. Like, I think that there's other cards that are more valuable, and Drop Off, Mission Objective. Those cards are more valuable for me, so I would never want to take Psychic Fortress. AIM Lackeys. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to kind of agree with you. I think Psychic Fortress is a good card at the end of the day. I have seen Rocket Raccoon suffer way too many hits only for his guaranteed cover to pull him out alive again and again. And so getting that 1 extra block that's not quite but almost guaranteed is really nice, but it hasn't made my cut for 8 in a while.
Yeah, same. So AIM Lackeys is one where if I'm running a Cabal list and I plan on having MODOK in there, I like it a little better. I think it's still fairly expensive, but like we said before, he's not too power hungry, and giving a character an extra move is very strong.
Yeah, I think if this card was limited to, like, MODOK has to play this on his turn, and then this character gets... But being able to say, cool, MODOK plays this, and then I choose to activate that character immediately after that, becomes a very powerful effect, giving basically somebody a free move action, which at almost any stage of the game is really strong. Especially like being able to do that onto a Baron Zemo.
Oh, yeah.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe AIM Lackeys has a range attached to it.
It just says MODOK spends 3 and another character gets to move.
Yeah. So I think that card is very viable, especially if you know that you are going to be running Cabal often and running MODOK in your Cabal often.
Exactly.
So I think if you have like a strong 17-point list that kind of gets modified at the different point levels, you can definitely keep that card in there and not be questioned about it.
I agree. So go ahead and ask your favorite question now, because I think that was all of our fan questions for MODOK.
I believe so. The final question that I have for you is the same with Hulk. Where does MODOK sit now that we have an extra goodness? What, 7 months of releases? Has he gotten better from something? Has he gotten worse? Or has he stayed about the same?
So I think MODOK has more or less stayed the same, but where he was when he first came out was relatively at the top of the list. Like he was up there in terms of strong characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he stayed the same, but at the end of the day, there are other characters that have come out that are maybe a little stronger than he is, and I don't think that there have been particularly any cards that maybe he's like slightly better, because like I think Medpack is a good card for MODOK, so because he can use it on himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's really anything else that's made him better. I don't think the Asgard affiliation specifically has made him better, because while it's better for him, I think there's other characters you'd rather have in Asgard. So, you know, yeah, I think he's maybe slightly better, but really mostly the same, because he was already pretty damn good.
Yep, I think the spiciest of techs with MODOK, like field dressing is going to be good on any of these big characters, especially if you're able to field dressing into a med pack or a patch up or something like that. And doing that on a MODOK is that much more infuriating, because it's harder to get him there in the first place.
Exactly.
So I think he's gained a little bit. He's also lost a little bit, though, because we're starting to see these characters that can apply status conditions without the need of a wild.
Exactly.
It's these, hey, if this deals damage, apply X, Y, or Z, or something like that. And I think MODOK now just has the possibility of getting stunned or having the bleed condition or getting shocked. And that hurts him a little bit. So I think he's stayed about the same between the stuff that's released that's helped him, but also a couple of things that are able to play into him very well.
Exactly. I think you nailed it, dude. I think you nailed it. And speaking of that, I think that about wraps up our discussion on these two great characters.
I believe it does.
So, yeah, I think, what do we have for the next episode, Nate? We're up to Black Panther and Killmonger?
We're looking at CP7, absolutely, Black Panther and Killmonger.
Great. So, guys, I'll post a Facebook link or post or whatever, and make sure you guys let us know if you have any questions for Black Panther and Killmonger. And at some point, Nate, we're going to have to get together for another tier list, because I think that has changed a little bit. But maybe after all the Black Order comes out, we can do that.
Absolutely. It's been a little bit, and there have been things that changed.
There have been. So, yeah, guys, so thanks for listening to this. We hope you enjoyed it. And make sure to email us at houseparty protocol pod@gmail.com. You can message us on Facebook at House Party Protocol Podcast. We like talking to you guys over there. You can comment on our posts. We're pretty active on the Facebook. Not so much the Discord, I know, but I'm at HPP Will on Discord if you ever see me over there. And also, yeah, get some games in if you can. Try to be safe. Wear a mask, all that good stuff. I know I'm going to be having a game day here pretty soon. I'm very excited for that. And Nate, where can people find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me over on either YouTube at the Gamers Guild. The channel has been growing quite a bit, and I'm so thankful for everybody who's checking out what we're doing over there. It's pretty consistently at this point started doing some roster reviews with different people from around the community, as well as just character reviews and first impressions when we get those. And tomorrow, after this episode drops, I'm actually going to go in and do a top 10 list of my favorite generic team tactic cards, which I'm pretty excited about. And then also you can find me on Facebook. You can either find the link in some of my videos or just, again, the Gamers Guild on Facebook. Would love to interact with you guys there if you guys have any questions.
Oh, yeah, that video sounds like a lot of fun. I'm excited to see what you have to say about those. And then Also, don't forget, we still have a discount code for Blacksite Studio. It's HOUSEPARTY15. If you go to Blacksite Studio, get some of the best gaming terrain in the business. You can get 15% off individual items over there. So don't forget to check that out. And pretty soon, we're going to be rolling out a web store thing with like t-shirts and mugs and stuff like that. So I'll let you guys know when we launch that. And I think we might have some joint endeavors with the Gamers Guild here. So I think that'll be pretty fun.
Absolutely.
All right, Nate. Party on.
Party on, sir.